today's daf is daf Chaf Gimel, page 23, here in Masechet Shabbos. And again, a request, if everyone can just please, on the left hand of your screen, where there's a little microphone, right, press the microphone to be muted so that no one hears background noise. Okay, we're at the two dots on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The last discussion that we saw yesterday is the question, is the mitzvah of Hanukkah lighting the candles, or the mitzvah of Hanukkah is to put the candles in their place? That's the question of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, the mitzvah is the lighting, or Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah, the mitzvah of putting it in its place. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is the lighting. And one of the proofs, there were two proofs that were brought, but one of the proofs is from the fact that the language of the bracha is we thank God, Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. We thank God who's commanded us to light the Chanukah candles, not lahaniach, to place the Chanukah candles in their spot. We also mentioned the Braisa. The Braisa says if you had a flame burning the whole Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, you blow it out and relight it, and now it works for Chanukah candles. So again, you see that the mitzvah is the lighting, not that the mitzvah is the placement. So then the Gemara said, once you say that the mitzvah is the lighting, so people who are not obligated in the mitzvah, like children or minor, you know, a minor, a shota, someone who's not intellectually mature, a chereish, a deaf mute, so then they cannot fulfill the mitzvah through lighting for the family. But then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, that was the last thing that we saw yesterday, Nashim chayavos b'ner Chanukah, women are obligated in lighting Chanukah candles. A woman can light the Chanukah candle and fulfill the obligation for everybody else. Sha'afin hayu ba'osu anes, because women were part of that miracle, just like the men were part of that miracle. Women were also in danger. And Rashi says another explanation that in a certain way it was the women who were the primary beings who brought about the miracle, because there was the famous decree that the Roman general, Helifornis, had made a decree that every young lady who gets married first has to have marital relations with him. So he was a crazed person. And so there was a very righteous Jewish woman by the name of Yehudis who was very beautiful, and she made her way through the lines of the Greek camp and went and had marital relations with this wicked general. And then when he was tired, she chopped off his head, and then she smuggled his head out in a basket through the lines of the Greek camp. And then the Jews who were fighting the Greeks showed off the severed head of Helifornis, and that dismayed the Greeks, and they ran away. So this battle was won by a very, very courageous woman. So therefore, that's one of the battles of the Chashmonaim. So therefore, women are obligated in this mitzvah, even though it is time-bound. That's the second explanation Rashi gives. Okay, we're at the two dots now on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Again, dealing with different aspects of lighting Chanukah candles. Who has to light? When do you light? Where do you light? What bracha do you say when you light the Chanukah candles? What happens if you don't have Chanukah candles? Do you make a bracha just on seeing somebody else's Chanukah candles? Those are all going to be discussed in this Amud. So we're at the two dots on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Sheshes taught, Achsanai, if someone is a guest. In those days, the yeshiva students, they used to rent a room at the home of a family. That would be the Achsanai, the guest. So the guest who is renting a room in my home, Chayav b'ner Chanukah, he also is obligated to light a Chanukah candle. Amar Reb Zeira said, Meresh initially, Ki avina beirav, when I was a yeshiva student in the yeshiva, Mishtatafna b'priti b'hadi yushpiza. So I knew I was obligated to light the Chanukah candles. I didn't actually light. What I would do is I would participate with some coins with the host. That he used to give the host a couple of coins for the expense of the host's Chanukah candles, and by paying a little bit for the host's Chanukah candles, the host's Chanukah candles worked for him as well. Basar de Nasivi Itza, once I got married and I was a guest at the yeshiva, Amina, I wouldn't even have to give money to my host to participate in his Hanukkah candles. I used to say, Hashtavadi lo tzrichna. Now I certainly don't need to do any of that. To kamadliki olai bego besai, because my wife is lighting for me back at my home. And the core mitzvah is ner ish ubeso, a candle for the household. The wife can also be the one to light the candle for the household. And therefore, there was no need for me to continue to give money to the host to be part of his Hanukkah candles. Okay, that completes the discussion of guests. Next discussion. What fuel should we use for Hanukkah candles? Rabbi Shulman Levi taught, Kol Hashmanim Kulan Yafin L'Ner. Any oil is fine for Hanukkah candle. But Shemen Zayis Min HaMuvchar, the best is olive oil. Amr Abaye said, Mereish Hava Mahadim Mar Amishcha D'Shumshim. Initially, our master would pursue sesame oil. Amar, he explained, Hai Mashach Nahori Tfei. This draws the flame very well. Kevin D'Shamalah, Lahadr B'Shuban Levi. But once he heard this lesson from B'Shuban Levi, Mahadr Amishcha D'Zeta, then he would pursue olive oil. Amar, he explained, Haitzalil Nahori Tfei. This one has a very clear light, so the best is to have olive oil. All right, a similar halacha. We're talking about different oils. Now we move from different oils for Hanukkah candles into different oils for ink. How would they make ink? They used to take some type of a substance. They would burn the substance into an ash, and then they put the ash would be on the outside, let's say, of a cup, and then they would pour into that ash, into that black, they would pour in an oil and mix it together to have an ink. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said further, Kol Hashmanim Yafin L'Dyo, all oils are good for the production of ink. The Shemen Zayis Min HaMuvchar, the best is olive oil. Ibaya Luhu, they had a question. L'gabel, la'ashin. What are we referring to? Are we referring to that we should use the olive oil to mix the olive oil with the ash? Or should we use the olive oil to produce the ash? Tashma, come in here, approved. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra taught, Kol Hashmanim Yafin L'Dyo. All the oils are good for ink. The Shemen Zayis Min HaMuvchar, whereas olive oil is the best. Bein L'Gabel, that's both in order to use the olive oil to be the oil that you mix with the ash to make the paste of the black ink. Bein L'Ashen, or to burn the olive oil to produce the ash, which is the base of the ink. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Masni Hachi. Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra used to teach this lesson in the following way. Kol Ha'ashanim Yafin L'Dyo. All smokes are good for ink. Meshem and Zayas Min HaMuvchar, the best is olive oil. Amar Avuna, Avuna said, Kol Ha'srafim Yafin L'Dyo. All the different types of sap are good to make ink out of them. Usraf Ktaf, the sap that comes from the Ktaf tree, Yafa Mikulam, is the best of all of them. Okay, now we're going to move on to who recites the bracha on Hanukkah candles. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi told him the name of Rav. Hamadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah, the person who lights the Hanukkah candles, Tzarech Levarech. He has to make brachos before he lights the candles. That's the view of Rav. Rabbi Yirmiyah added, Haroa ner shel Chanukah tzarech levarech. If somebody is walking by and he doesn't have Chanukah candles, Maybe he's on a boat. He doesn't have the ability to light Chanukah candles because the wind on the sea is going to put out his Chanukah candles. So he recites a bracha for the seeing of Chanukah candles. If he sees the candles, the sight of the candles makes him make a bracha. I'm ready to explain. Yom Rishon, the first day, Aroeh, somebody who sees Chanukah candles on the first day, Mevarech Shtayim, he makes two brachos, Sh'asa Nisim Lavoseinu, and the bracha of Shechianu. He can't make the bracha of Asher Kitshanu Mitzvosu V'tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, who commanded us to light, because he's not lighting. But he can thank God for the miracles as well as Shechianu. U'mahadlik, where's the one who lights? Mevarech Shalosh, he recites three blessings. Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, because he's lighting, and Sh'asa Nisim and Shechianu. Mikan Ve'elach, after that first day, Madlik Mavarech Shtayim, the one who lights, recites two brachos, Veroeh, right, Lahadlik as well as Sh'asa Nisim, Veroeh, and the one who sees, Mavarech Achas. He only recites one bracha, Sh'asa Nisim. Maimimait, what's the bracha that's being dropped? Why does the lighter recite two brachos? Which two brachos is he saying? Maid Zman, he's not saying the bracha of Shehechianu. After the first day, you don't say Shehechianu. Asks the Gemara of Nimot Nes, why don't you stop saying the bracha of Sh'asa Nisim after the first day? Answers the Gemara, Nes Kol Yoma Isay. Every day there was a miracle. Every day that it kept burning was another added miracle. So therefore, you don't say the bracha of Shechianu, because once you've arrived at the time, you've said the Shechianu, you don't need to say it the subsequent days. Yeah, Rachman, you had a question? Yes, if you can't light on the first day, but you see, you say Shechianu and you say Sh'asa Nisim. No, this is a unique law to Chanukah because the mitzvah of Chanukah is Pirsumei Nisa. So even if someone himself didn't light, he's participating in the publicizing of the miracle through seeing. So he can make a bracha just on the seeing. It doesn't apply to anything else. It doesn't apply to reading Megillah or any other halacha. Sure. Okay, we are on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the second to last thin line. We're talking about the blessings that are recited for lighting or for seeing Chanukah candles. My Mevarech, what's the bracha that someone who lights the Chanukah candles says? Mevarech, he says the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed are you God, our King, Master of the world, Asher Kidshanu B'mitzvosav, who's made us holy through his commandments, through his orders, V'tzivanu, and in particular ordered us, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, to light the Chanukah candle. So, Veheichan Tzivanu, how can we say that God has ordered us to light Chanukah candles? An order has to be a biblical mitzvah. Where did God order us to light Chanukah candles? There's no pasuk where God says, go light Chanukah candles. Rav Avaya answered, God ordered us to light the Chanukah candles when he told us to listen to the rabbis, even though it's a rabbinic enactment. But we have a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, ki yipaleh mimcha davar lamishpat, when there'll be a matter that's beyond you, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, divrei rivos b'sharecha, v'kamta v'alisa, you should go up to Yerushalayim. And the Torah says, v'asisa kechol asher yorucha, do as whatever the rabbis tell you to do, lo sasur, do not stray, mina davar asher yagidu lecha, from whatever they tell you to do, yamin usmol, to the right or to the left. So since Hashem said, lo tasur, do not deviate from what the rabbis tell you to do, that's the source of where God is commanding you to light Chanukah candles. Because the rabbis tell you to light Chanukah candles, and God tells you to listen to the rabbis, so you can say in the blessing accurately, God has commanded us and ordered us to light the Chanukah candles. Rav Nechemya said it's not even a pasuk in the Torah, it's a pasuk in Navi. The pasuk says, ask your father, he'll tell you. Ask your elders, and they will tell you. So the pasuk says you should be asking your elders, and they will be telling you. Masiv Rav Amram. Rav Amram challenges. We learned. So basically we're saying that you should make a bracha on rabbinic laws, and you can say Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, that he has commanded us to do these rabbinic laws, either through the verse of Lo Tasur, do not deviate, or through the verse of Shal Avicha v'yageitcha, Zekeinecha v'yomru lach. Masav Avamram, Avamram challenges. We learned Hadamai. Damai is a rabbinic law. We know that biblically you have to separate Truma and Maser Rishon and then Maser Sheni. But the rabbis were worried that many Amaratzim, not that many, maybe 10% of the Amaratzim don't separate Trumos and Maser. So they said anytime you buy produce from an Amaratz, from an ignorant person, assume that Trumos and Maser weren't separated and you have to re-separate. And we learned Hadmai in regards to Dmai. Ma'arvin Bo, you could use Dmai to create an Eruv Chatzeros. An Eruv Chatzeros is the law that we, rabbinically, we're not allowed to carry from a private home into the courtyard unless all the homes that open up into this courtyard have participated in the Eruv Chatzeros. They've all pooled their food together and have and it's considered as if everybody is in one home. So we learned from Rav Amram that Dmai, Ma'arvin Bo, you can use it to make Eruv. U'mishtatvin Bo, you can use Dmai to make Shituv Mevuos. And here's the key line that we're most interested in. U'mivarchin Alav. If you want to eat bread of Dmai, you make on it a bracha of Hamotzi. After you ate bread of Dmai, Mizamnin Alav, you would make Birkas Hazimun. U'mafrishin Oso Arum. And you could take away from the Dmai, the Truma and Maisa, you have to and dedicate them, even if you're naked. Uvein Hashmashos, and you could do it between sunset and the stars coming out on Shabbos. Now, Iyam, if you're going to tell me, called Drabbanan, when you have a rabbinic obligation, Vayu Bracha, you have to make a blessing. So that would mean you'd have to say, Asher Kachan Mitzosavitzi Vanu Lahafrish Truma Min Admai. Sahacha here, Kikai Arum, if a person's naked, how could he make a blessing? Don't we know back from Masechta Brachos? The Pasuk says, V'haya machanecha kadosh, your camp has to be holy. You can't recite a blessing in the presence of nakedness. V'leka, and that's not applicable, that's not here. The camp's not holy if people are naked. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, Vade didivrei, when you're doing something which rabbinically is a certainty, namely lighting Hanukkah candles, they said you certainly have to light Hanukkah candles. Then v'haya bracha, then you need to say the blessing. But when you're doing something that only rabbinically they obligated you based on a safek, then you don't need to say a bracha. Ask the Gemara, what about Yom Tov Sheni? The safek to Devrayim, that is only a safek midrabanan. And you have to say the bracha. Answer the Gemara, awesome over there, ki heichadolot lizilzuli ba. There, you only have to make a bracha so that you not treat it with respect. Even though it's based on a suffix, right? Maybe it's this day, maybe it was that day that was Rosh Chodesh. But nevertheless, it's just Shalolu Zalzule. But Rava said, the reason why in regards, he said, really, when you have a day midrabanan based on a suffix, you also have to make a bracha. But in regards to Dmai, the reason why they're lenient about the bracha, you don't need a bracha with Dmai to separate the Dmai, is really because Rov Amya Aretz Ma'asrin Heim. Most Amia Aretz do separate Trumos and Maestros. And since you have a majority that's actually separated it, that's why here the rabbis did not obligate a bracha before you separate the Trumos and Maestros from the Dmai. All right, now we're going to talk about a topic which we've discussed before, and that's the topic of almost Maris Ayin, of the impression that you give to others. We are at the two dots, the third set of two dots. The third set of two dots here on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph of Masechta Shabbos. Amar Rav Huna said, Chatzer Sheyesh La Shnei Psachim. So let's say there is a person who has two entrances from his home into the courtyard. So the courtyard's got two entrances going to it.
Tzricha shtei neros. So each of those entrances needs a candle. So he has to put up two candles. Amar Rava, Rava explained, lo amar, we didn't say this. Ela mishtei ruchos. When these two entrances are on two different sides. Avam ruach achas, but if the two entrances are on the same side, lo tzarech, then you only have to put up one candle. My time, why is it that if there are two entrances on two sides, does he have to put up two candles? Ilan mishim chshada, if we're going to say that it's based on maris ayin, that when people walk by, they're not going to see on one of the entrances a candle, they're going to think this person is not lighting candles. Chshada daman, who are we worried about him suspecting that the person's not doing the mitzvah? We're worried about people from the world walking by, don't necessarily know what's going on here. So even if we had the two entrances on one side, we should require that both of them have candles lit, because they're going to think that the two entrances are two different homes. And if we're worried about suspicions of the people of this town, who know how many people are living in this house, even if there are two entrances on two different sides, you shouldn't require candles on each side, because the people here know that there's only one family in this house, and if they don't see the candle on one side, then they'll figure the candle's on the other side. Answer the Gemara, we are worried about people from this town suspecting that the people of this house did not fulfill the mitzvah. Because there could be people who walk by one entrance, but they don't walk by the other entrance. They say, the same way this family didn't light at this entrance, they also didn't light at the other entrance. Now how do I know that we need to do things to make sure that people not suspect that we're not doing the mitzvos? Titania, this is based on what we've learned in a brisa. Laws of peah, of leaving the corner of the field for the poor. Amar Rav Shimon taught, Bishvil arba dvarim amra taira, v'aniach peah b'sof sadeya. For four reasons, the Torah said, you leave the corner of the field at the end of the harvest. Only at the end. Why? Mipnei gezel aniyim, number one, because of theft from the poor. Two, mipnei bitul aniyim, because of wasting time from the poor. We'll see what that means. Mipnei chshad, because of suspicion. Umishum bal tachala, and because you shouldn't eliminate all of it. So, mipnei gezel aniyim, because of stealing from the poor. Shelo yira balabaya shah pnuya. We don't want a situation that the person is cutting down his field and he sees there's a moment when no one's around. Then v'yomer l'krovo ani, then he'll call his relative who happens to be poor and say, listen, hey, this little thing that I'm about to cut, this is the peah, rezu peah, and you take it, and then nobody else is going to get peah. That would be stealing from all the poor, and that's what the Torah says. Only at the end of your harvest, then you leave the corner for the poor, so all the poor know when to come to get from the corner that's been left for them. Okay, now on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Umipnei bitul aniyim. The second reason why you leave only the end of the harvest for the poor, because of bitul aniyim. What does that mean? Shelo yehu aniyim yoshvin umishamrim achshav aniach balabayis peya. We don't want to waste the time of the poor. If the person cutting down his field could at any point decide, oh, I just started, now I'm going to declare something peya. So the poor people, the moment they see the man cutting, they have to sit around to wait for that time that he's going to decide it's peya. It's going to waste their time. So we don't want to waste their time that they're sitting around all day. Maybe it's going to be peah now. Maybe it's going to be peah now. So we said, no. You leave as peah the end. They know as you're getting close to the end, that's when they should come for the peah that you're going to leave and they can collect. Thirdly, mipnei chshad. We don't want people to be dedicating certain amounts of the field as peah at any time. We want them to only dedicate at the very end because of suspicion. Shelo yu ha'ovrim v'shavim, so that the people walking by who will see him finishing his harvest, and at the end of the field he's cutting off the corner, v'omrim, and they might say, hey, tavo me'era, let there be a curse on this person, shelo yiniach peah b'sadeyu, this person who didn't leave a corner in his field. And we don't want them to be cursing this man, because they'll be suspicious, they'll be thinking that he didn't leave Peah, when really he did leave Peah earlier on. Therefore, we said always at the end of the harvest, that's when you leave the Peah. And finally, Mishum, because of the Pasuk, which says, Bal techale, do not extinguish. In other words, don't cut off the whole field. Don't finish off the harvest without leaving a corner for the peel, for the poor. Asks the Gemara, once you have a pasuk, that should be enough. Amar Rava, Rava explained, so even though the pasuk says, again, you can have dishonest people who say, oh, I left a corner already for the poor, I didn't extinguish it all without leaving anything for the poor. So based on these reasons, we say that the farmer has to leave the pay at the end of his harvest. So this is the source that we do care about what other people think. We don't want him to be leaving the Peah earlier and then other people thinking he never left Peah and other people cursing him. And therefore, in fact, we since we care about what other people think, therefore, this is the law that he has to leave the Peah at the very end, and everybody will know as they see him finishing his harvest that he's leaving the Peah. That's also why in regards to Hanukkah, if you have a home with two entrances, each entrance needs to have a Hanukkah candle. Maybe the people who walk by one entrance are not going to see the Hanukkah candle of the other entrance, and they'll be suspicious. They'll be thinking that you need to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah. They might curse you. We don't want anybody cursing us. I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Radifa. Rav Yitzchak Bar Radifa said now, in the name of Rav Huna, Ner Shieshla Shnei Pios. Let's say you have a little lamp, and there are two openings to the lamp. And in each opening, there's a wick. Olo l'shnei b'nei adam, that can work for two people. Amar Rava, Rava said, Mile ka'ara shemen, if a person has filled a bowl with oil, vihi kifa psilos, and he surrounded the bowl with multiple wicks, kafa alea kli, if he put on top of this utensil, a utensil, olo l'kama b'nei adam, then this bowl can work for as many people as there are wicks. Lo kafa alea kli, but if he didn't put a cover on top of the bowl, asa k'min medura, so now it's a torch. It's not even a nair. Yul le'echad nami eino ola, and it wouldn't even work for one. Amar Rava, Rava said, another law, shitali, it's obvious to me. Let's say a person is poor and he doesn't have money for candles. So when he has a question, what should he spend his money on, his limited money? Ner Beso versus Ner Hanukkah. Should he light, should he spend the money to buy a Shabbos candle? Or should he spend the money to buy a Hanukkah candle? Ner Beso Adif, better he should buy the Shabbos candle. Mishum Shalom Beso, in order to have Shalom Bayis. It's also obvious to me, Ner Beso, if he has the question of buying a Shabbos candle or Kiddush Hayom, or he should use the money to buy wine for Kiddush. Ner Beso Adif, it's better to use the money to buy a Shabbos candle. Mishum Shalom Beso, because the Shabbos candle creates Shalom Bayis, peace in the home. Boy, Rava, Rava asked the following question. Ner Hanukkah v'kiddush hayom mahu. When he has a limited amount of money, and the question is, should he use it to buy a Hanukkah candle, or should he use it to buy wine for kiddush on Friday night? What's the law? Kiddush hayom adif, maybe he should use it to buy wine for kiddush. Dit hadir, because wine for Kiddush is more regular. And we have a rule generally, Tadir v'she'eno Tadir, Tadir kodem. When you have the more regular and the less regular, the more regular comes first. Odilmor, maybe Hanukkah Adif, he should use the money to buy Hanukkah candle, Mishom Pirsume Nisa, because through the Hanukkah candle, he gets to publicize the miracle. Vasar Dibaya, so after he had this question, what's better, use your limited money for Kiddush, or use your limited money for Hanukkah candle? Hadar Pashta, he did resolve it. Ner Hanukkah Adif, better to buy the Hanukkah candle. Mishum Pirsume Nisa, because in that way you'll be able to publicize the miracle. Somebody who's always careful with candles. He's careful to have good Hanukkah candles. He's careful to have good Shabbos candles. Have Yulei, as a reward, he'll merit to have Banim, Talmidei Chachamim, children who are Torah scholars. Because the Torah also is a light. Ki ner mitzvah, the Torah, or we were taught. Hazayar b'mezuzah, if a person's careful with mezuzah, zochel adirana, he will merit as a reward to have a beautiful home. Hazayar b'tzitzis, someone who's careful to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis the right way, zochel atalisna, he will merit to have a beautiful cloak. Hazayar b'kiddush hayom, if somebody's careful in kiddush, zochel memale gar v'yayin, he'll merit and fill barrels of wine. Rav Huna have a ruggled have a chalif etanya pischa to Rav Avin Nagra. Rav Huna was regular that he used to walk by the doorway of Rav Avin the carpenter. Chazad have a ruggled b'shraga tuva. He saw that he used to light lots of candles. Amar he said, Tre gavri ravri nafki mihacha. Two great people are going to come out of this place because He was so careful with candles. He said, you're going to have two great people. And out of him came out Rav Idi bar Avin and Rav Chia bar Avin. Rav Chizda bar Ragel da v'chalef v'tani apischa de beinasha de Rav Shizbi. Rav Chizda had the practice. He used to be walking by the doorway of the father of Rav Shizbi, and he'd be learning. Chazad da v'ragel b'shraga tuva. He also saw they used to have a lot of candles of mitzvah in his house for Shabbos. Amar, he said, Gavra Rava Nafat Mihacha, a great man's going to come out of this home, and that's what happened. Nafat Minayu Rav Shizbi. Rav Shizbi came out of that family. Tibisu Rav Yosef, the wife of Rav Yosef, Hava Ma'achra Umadlakla. She used to be late in terms of when she would light her Shabbos candles. She would delay until a late time, really close to being dark, and then she would light her Shabbos candles. Hamalei Rav Yosef said to her, Tanya Lintin Abraisa, the Pasuk says, Lo Yamash Amud Ha'anan Yomam, V'amud Ha'esh Laila. The pillar of cloud wouldn't leave by the day, the pillar of fire wouldn't leave by night. So Malami, that teaches you that Amud Anan Mashal Amud Esh, that the pillar of cloud would arrive a little bit before the pillar of fire would leave. Amud Eish, Mashal Amud Anan, and the pillar of fire would arrive a little bit before the pillar of cloud would leave. So, in other words, you should be lighting it a little bit earlier. Savralak Duma. So then she figured, okay, I'll light my Shabbos candles in the middle of the afternoon on Friday. I'll do it very early. Samalahu Sava. So an elder said to her, we've learned, you can't light the Shabbos candles too early. You can't light it too late. And the poskim explain the earliest time to light the Shabbos candles is plag hamincha, an hour and 15 minutes before sunset. Amar Rava, Rava said, another lesson, to Rachim Rabbanan, someone who loves Torah scholars, havulei bnin Rabbanan, he'll merit to have children who are Torah scholars. To Moki Rabbanan, someone who shows a lot of honor and gives a lot of respect to the Torah scholars. Hav Yulei Chasan Vasa Rabbanan, he'll merit to have sons-in-law who are Torah scholars. To Dachim Rabbanan, someone who is afraid of the Torah scholars. Hu Gufa Hav Yitzur B'mer Rabbanan, he himself is going to become a great Torah scholar. Vilav Barhachihu, and if he's not someone worthy of becoming a great Torah scholar, Mishtamin Mile, his opinions will be accepted, Kitzur B'mer Rabbanan, like a great Torah scholar. All right, now we're back to the issues of Shabbos candles. We learned in the Mishnah, one of the oils you shouldn't use is Shemen Sreifa. My Shemen Sreifa, what is the oil that's supposed to be burned? Amar Rabba, Rabba explained, Shemen shel Truma shenitma. That's oil of Truma that had become Tameh. You're supposed to burn it. Amai Karle Shemen Sreifa. Why is it called the burned oil? Olu Sreifa Omeid, because you can't eat it. So what is it for? It's just there to be burned. Ubishabbos my time alone. Why can't you use this oil for your Shabbos candle? Answers the Gemara, Mitosh Mitzvah of Levaro, since there's a mitzvah to burn it. So
that might put stress on a person. He wants it to get burned, because that's the mitzvah. So again, he might adjust the flame. Gzeira Shema Yate, we're worried he might adjust the flame to hasten the burning of this oil. That's why you can't use this type of an oil for your Shabbos candle. Amalei Abaye, Abaye said, Elameyatev, we're just worried about adjusting flames. Yom Tov Lishtari, you should be able to use Shemen Sreifa for your Yom Tov candles, because on Yom Tov you're allowed to transfer flames from place to place. Alam Atznan, why did we learn in the Mishnah? Ei Madlikim B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yom Tov. You can't use your oil that you're supposed to burn, your Truma oil that became Tameh, on Yom Tov for Yom Tov flames. Answers the Gemara, Gzeira Yom Tov Atu Shabbos. That's a decree that we don't want you to do it on Yom Tov because we don't want you to do it on Shabbos. Rav Chisda Amar, Rav Chisda said no. L'shem ayata lo chay shinan. We're not worried that someone's going to adjust the flame of the Shemen Sreifa. Elahacha, but this that our Mishnah said, you don't light on a Friday Shabbos candles with oil of Truma that's Tameh. It's B'yom, on Yom Tov, I mean, you can't do it. It was B'yom Tov Shachal Lios Erev Shabbos Askinan. We're talking about when Yom Tov is on a Friday itself. And the reason is, Lefi She'ein Sorfin Kadshin B'yom Tov. There is a law that we do not burn Kadshim on Yom Tov. So asks the Gemara, V'amidiktani Seifei Madlikim Hashem and Seifei B'yom Tov, Michlal D'Reishol Ab Yom Tov Askinan. Our Mishnah is not talking about Yom Tov, because the end says you can't use Shemen Sreifa on Yom Tov. Am Reb Chanina Misura Matam Kamar. No, it's explaining itself. Matam in Madlik Mishemen Sreifa Bi Yom Tov. Why can't you light a little lamp with oil of Truma that's Tameh on Yom Tov? Lefish Ein Sarfin Kachim Yom Tov, because there is a din that we don't burn disqualified holy objects on Yom Tov. Okay, Ad Kan, Daf Chav Gimel, and Be'ez Hashem, looking forward tomorrow, again at 7:30 a.m. for tomorrow's Daf Chav Dalid here in Masechet Shabbos. Everyone should be, please.